Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Today, I've been thinking lately about familiarity and some things. How you can be familiar with the things of God, familiar with the presence of God. And of course, if you are familiar with the presence of God, things of God, it is because now you are practicing it as a mere religion. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
As a mere religion. Let me give you an instance before we continue. The Bible says in Luke 24:25. Okay, from 24. It said, "Then some of our companions and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Who is the him there? Jesus, right? So let's read the next part of scripture together. So, you know, they were surprised. So the Bible said, "Then he said to them, O what? Foolish one. And what? To believe in all that the prophet have spoken." You know, if you read it in the NKJV, it's a little bit confusing. Let's see it in the NLT's translation. "Then Jesus said to them, You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture." You see, it's so plain here. So you find it what? Hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in scriptures. Because in 24, bring out 24 again. In 24, the Bible says, "Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." That's why someone says, women that first preached the gospel. Next part of scripture. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Three.
"Then Jesus said to them, You foolish people," because they were surprised. They were so surprised. They were just gisting, right? Two of them, if you read the story. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Are you people alive?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They were just walking and talking to themselves. Ah, those women went and checked, and truly, truly, the body of Jesus has been taken off. And why do I discuss when Jesus appeared amidst them? He said, "You foolish people." He shouted. You can see that the exclamation mark there. "You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures." Because he was wondering, why are you surprised? If it was written, why are you surprised? If the prophets had prophesied that I'll be resurrected, why are you surprised? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's not like the prophets assured in their writings that Jesus was going to suffer and resurrect. That is, he's going to be dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. Now, if he truly resurrected, why are you surprised? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
And the next part of scripture. "Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have..." Now, you all are familiar with the NKJV, so let's read in the NKJV. So that you don't get confused anytime you see it. "Honored the Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory." So the resurrection was a proof that he has entered into his glory. If you read the Bible in the book of Ephesians 1, let's see from verse 19. From verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power," verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he what? "Raised him from the dead. From the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." But I'm trying to look for the part of scripture that said he was raised by the glory of the Father. Let me just get it for you. Romans what? 6:4. Okay, let's see 6:4. It says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God. So it says, oh no, now go back to where we were. It said, oh no, the Savior ought to suffer. And you know, NKJV calls it suffer, but it actually means Jesus to die, to be buried, then what? Be resurrected into glory. So when he resurrected, it was proof that he has entered into the glory. Are we together? Because he said a prayer in John 15. He said, Father, bless me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Of course, he was subjected to humanity's limitation because he came to die for us. So he must appear as us. He must come as us to die for us. If he was not like us, he cannot die for us. Are we together? Why? Because the consequences of sin is what? Death. So he had to come as us, to die as us, and resurrected as us. Yes, it's powerful as us. Do you understand that? So when he did everything, it was proof that we've done everything. By faith we died with Christ. By faith we were buried with Christ. And by faith we what? The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:20 or 21. It says, he who knew no sin became what? So that through him becoming sin, we may become what? The righteousness of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. So he knew no sin, but because he came for us, he subjected himself to sin. Little wonder the Bible said we don't have a Savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. He related to all the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 10 says, it says, and sacrifices of lambs and etc., any form of animal, he had no delight. But the Bible says, I think from verse 4 down through verse 5 to be specific, he said, a body that thou prepares for me, isn't it?
Yes,
but a body you have prepared for me. Alright, so Christ said, there's a body that's been prepared for me. And when he got into that body, he got a name that identified with the body. What was the name that they called him as regarding the body? Jesus. But who is contained and should be revealed in that body?
Christ.
Are you able to get what I'm trying to say now? Is there any confusion? So that's why you see the Bible says Jesus the Christ. They remove the Christ there because, you know, it doesn't correctly translate as Jesus the Christ from Greek to English. But it is supposed to be Jesus the Christ. We call it Jesus Christ. So when I say Jesus, I'm actually referring to the Christ. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, do not stop regarding Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus in the spirit. Alright? So when he died, a body was prepared for him that they called Jesus. So Jesus said, who do men say that I am, right? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Because everybody saw him as Jesus. Because he wore a body and men called him Jesus, like they should call every man a name. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But Jesus then said, who do people think that I am? That means there's more to Jesus. So he had to wear Jesus so that he dies for us, be buried for us, and resurrected as us. Died as us. Every woman be buried as every woman, us, and resurrected as us. But when he was revealed on the third day, a name was given to him above all names. He entered into what he prayed in John 15. Bless me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Are we together?
Yes,
bless me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that glory he entered in the resurrection. If you remember, I'm still going to come back to where we were. But if you remember in John 17, Jesus said, can we put John 17? He says, oh God, help me remember. Okay, so we can start from there. He said, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. glorify your son, that your son may what? Glorify. And if you go downward somewhere, he said, I've lost no one except the son of perdition. Can you check that for me? And he says something about him sanctifying them by his truth. Verse what? Verse 18. So let's see verse 18. It's something I'm looking for. Verse 18. As you send me into the world, I also send them into the world. 19. That's verse 12. Okay. Alright. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Next part of scripture.
Foolish ones, how slow are your heart?
Sorry? Verse 19. Okay. Alright, let's see verse 19. Alright. Okay, so let's see how to do this now. Give me verse 18 so that it makes sense to us as we read. Okay, verse 17. Verse 16. Why in it? I just wanted to make a lot of sense. Verse 15. Alright, let's read together. One to go. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So this is God's mindset. Not that we run away from Satan's trouble in the world, but that we're in the world and that we reign above Satan. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Because it's the Lord's world. The Lord's earth. It's not the devil's earth. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So we can see God's mindset painted in the words of Jesus. He said, don't take them. So, Christianity is not escapism into heaven.
Yes,
are you guys seeing what I'm saying here?
Yes,
it is that we are reigning and ruling upon the face of the earth. Next part of scripture, it then says in verse 16, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. That doesn't mean we are going to be escaped into heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
are you listening to me?
Yes,
alright, that our identity heals from God's kingdom, but or from God himself, but that doesn't mean that we should be escaped from the earth that will go back to a location called heaven and stay there. That's why Jesus said, I did not pray that they should leave, but they should be protected, right?
Yes,
next part of scripture. It says, sanctify them by the truth. He said, your word is truth. So how are they protected and begin to reign above the evil one? By the sanctification by the truth. Sanctification by the truth, right?
Yes, sir.
And now, what it takes for us to be sanctified, the Bible calls it the word of God, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And who is the word of God? Jesus. But see what he says. Verse 18 and finally 19. Very fast. As you sent me into the world, also I sent them. But this is not the point. 19. Let's read together. Verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be what? Now he says, sanctify them by the truth. Then he said, your word is true. Then he said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now he understands that he's the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
He said, but there's something that has to happen to me, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Meaning if something happens to me, it will happen to them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Now what must happen to him? The resurrection. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Because what they need for sanctification, ruling and reigning, you know what that means? Ruling and reigning, because remember the mindset, do not take them away from the world, but what? Protect them from the evil one. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And of course, if you look at that with everything Jesus has said before, you have an idea that Jesus is not saying God should just hide us, let Satan be flexing everywhere. No. Because he has actually told us before that we are supposed to rule and reign upon the face of the earth. So Jesus' words cannot be broken. Scriptures cannot be broken. So somehow, if you look at the original, I'm sure we're going to find words that suggest that protection there is not hiding away from Satan. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because we are the light of the world. How do we hide? It said, no one lights a candle and put under a bushel. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So don't see it as we trying to hide. Let Satan pass or something. No. When he say protect, it doesn't mean we are hiding from Satan. But that Satan has nothing, like he said about himself. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing of himself in me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He says, sanctify them by your truth. He said, your word is truth. Then he begins to relate it with himself. He said, for their sake, I actually will sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. I want us to read together in the Amplified rendition. We're going to come back here. We're going to read together in the Amplified rendition. 2 Corinthians 1 to read. So from now on, we regard no one. From what? According to what? Though we have what? Now we what? So you see, what has to happen was that he needs to be dead, buried, resurrected as the Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Alright? And him being resurrected as the Christ is what humanity needs. It's not Jesus before resurrection that can sanctify the world. It is Jesus after resurrection. Or Jesus the resurrected. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Whatever Jesus can do for creation is not before. It's not going to happen before. But at or after resurrection. So he said, I ought to sanctify myself so that what I said in verse 17 will be fulfilled. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And he's the word, John 1:1, isn't it? And since he's the word, he said, okay, now the sanctification entails that where we started in Luke 24, ought not the Savior have to suffer and after 3 days be resurrected? I'm trying to paraphrase, you know, because whatever it takes for according to prophecy, he has to die, be buried, and what? Resurrected. And his resurrection, according to this part of scripture, John 17 and verse what? 19, right? John 17, 19. According to scripture, it is the resurrected capacity of Jesus, or the resurrection capacity of Jesus, or Jesus who is resurrected that can save. It sounds funny. Yes, thank you for helping me. That has the capacity, all right, to save humanity. Now, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 5, 16, just be looking at me, all right? Don't feel disappointed. You will understand me at the end. It said, from now on we regard no one from a human point of view according to worldly standard and values. Though we have known Christ from a human, we have known Christ. So we have discovered that Jesus is the Christ. And now the person is saying, see how Paul is writing. He said, we have known Christ. So, you know, we've figured out that Jesus is Christ, right? And now we're like, we have known Christ from a human point of view. So how do they call him from a human point of view? Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Everybody knows his name is Jesus. Alright, probably he lives in high levels. So one day Jesus will come to the center of Thursday. Who do you all think that I am? So are you not Jesus? No, there's more to me now. It is when we discover who he is that in that capacity he can what? Change humanity. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's why I said something has to happen to these folks for them to be protected from the evil one. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What has to happen is no more prayer. He said there's a capacity I will get when I'm resurrected. Alright? When I'm dead, buried, resurrected, there's something that's going to happen to me. There's a change. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that he was given a name above all names when he resurrected. He said at that point, from that capacity, I can do something in humanity that will get them protected and to rule and reign above Satan. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I've heard wonderful men of God try to interpret that part of scripture from their own, you know, as it relates to them. It's not necessarily true. You know, they say, okay, I have to sanctify myself so that as I sanctify myself, the people will be sanctified. You know, it's good, yeah, if you really had understood the word of God yet, the truth about Jesus. But if it's just limited to praying more and fasting more, nothing's going to happen. Are we together? Because that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was not saying, I'm going to pray more or fast more. This sanctification there entails the thing that ought to happen to him. His death, burial, and what? Then resurrection. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The proof that something has happened to him is the resurrection. You know, if we see Jesus resurrected, so, he's in the sanctified capacity. And this is what can hit humanity and bring a new day. That will fulfill what he said in verse 15. Which is humanity getting what? protected. Is it verse 15 or 16 in John 17? Them being protected, them not leaving the world, but them being what? Protected from the evil one. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So, you know what I'm trying to say is that if we don't understand who Jesus truly is, it doesn't matter what we do in the church, whether fasting, marathon, 24 hours, prayers, and nothing's going to happen to humanity. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, that's why we see people who are sincere yet in sin. You can be sincere yet be in sin. You can love the Lord with the whole of your heart. I mean, from human capacity of love, yet still in sin. Paul was there. And of course, if you are there, Satan will eventually get you. That's why Paul was living by the law. Because him living by the law was him thinking from his human capacity that he was living for God. Because if you look at Romans 10, the person that wrote that was Paul. The reason why he understood this so well was because he was once like that. He was ignorant of God's righteousness. And as a result of that, he was living from his own capacity for God. Are you get what I'm trying to say? So if you are ignorant of God's righteousness, you can assume anything to mean righteousness. So for Paul, he meant like, that's why he said, I killed Christians with a clear conscience. Because he felt like that was righteousness. Like some of the folks we have today that kill people and say, Allahu Akbar. They do it with a very clear conscience. To them, that's righteousness. Some of them believe if they die, they get seven virgins. Nothing makes you stupid than religion. Nothing. Nothing makes you stupid. Because imagine, there are intellectuals that went to school, left school, and want to die to get seven virgins. Just imagine that you are dying for your God to go and have seven. What would you do? Now, have you ever asked yourself, what did they do with the seven virgins? In Al-Jannah. Al-Jannah means heaven in Arabic. What do they do with seven virgins in heaven? You know, they're actually planning to sleep with them. So you see, why they kill themselves is to have seven virgins around them. Like, you know, when you watch Rick Ross those days and Jay-Z, you see some girls when they are singing. So that's what they actually were cool in the world. They were very nice in the world, behaving nice so that they die and be like Jay-Z in heaven. Nothing makes you stupid like religion. It shuts your brain. Start thinking stupid. And that's why some of them, when you see, before they kill a human being, they shout, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If you go to Acts 6, is it Acts 6 or Acts 16? You see that, is it Acts 6, Acts 16 or Acts 7? You see how Paul was holding cloth for people to kill some of the followers of Jesus. Even Stephen, Paul held the cloth of people. He first called them and held their cloth. They killed Stephen. Is it chapter 9 that the Bible says, is it chapter 9 or 8? The Bible says he was going to Damascus for another mission to kill Christians when the Lord encountered him. That's how he just changed. When light came, he changed. But you know, Paul was actually in his heart a Christian. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He was a Christian. But he never understood Christ. He was just practicing religion. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He was a Christian practicing religion. Not a follower of Muhammad, if you read the Bible. He believed in God. But the God that he saw only in the Torah, that's what he believed. The Bible said, Paul said he killed Christians with a word, a clear conscience. No wonder he calls himself, he said, me, Paul, who is the chiefest of all sinners. He knew he did a very terrible thing. But of course, you understand God's mercy. That is why he was not scared to talk about his past. You know, when you don't understand God's mercy, you are proud. You talk like you have not sinned before. Have you seen people like that? They ask, have you ever liked a lady before? Say, God forbid. Have you ever fallen in love before? No, God forbid, sir. They are proud people. They are the chiefest of all sinners. But you see, if you truly understand God's grace, yes, if you see any lady that says, I don't like men, I hate men, I've never loved any man in my life, she's a liar. And the truth is not in her. There's no man here that will say he has never loved a lady before. Like, sorry, let me not use the word love. It's very critical. Crushed on a lady, was crushed by a lady's beauty. If you have not, stand up, sinner. Raise your hand, liar. There's no man under the sound of my voice. There's no woman here that have not seen a fine man before and said in her heart, that man is truly fine. Wow, God, you're good with your works. If you've not, stand up, liar. The truth is not in you. John told us. He said, if you say you do not have sin, then you are a liar. And what? The truth. If you didn't have sin, sorry, the truth is not in you. You are a liar. Because if the truth is really in you, if you truly understand the truth of God's word, you will know you are a sinner. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it is only because of the truth that you are what? Changed today. That's why Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Well, you see, people are always defensive. I've never done this in my life. They behave like they hate sinners and hate sin too much in the whole world, blah, 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 blah. It's just hypocrite. So you see Paul calling himself, I was the chiefest of all sinners. I was the chiefest of all sinners. He was not ashamed to say he was the chiefest of all sinners. He was not ashamed to say he killed Christians with a clear conscience. Some people, we don't know what they've done before. They are ashamed to say it. And we're not saying come and sing it everywhere, because some people too can judge too much. But what I'm trying to say is that you will not be ashamed of your past if you truly encounter the mercy of God. That's why Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I will boast in my weaknesses. He didn't mean that when he's falling in sin, he will stand up and say, I'm falling in sin. Because he understood God's grace. He now understands God's grace. He said, I am not ashamed to boast of my weaknesses. Meaning I can say, I was in that life. I was a smoker, but here I am. He can boast. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That God has transformed him. So Paul was like that. That's why he was explaining. Alright? He said he was ignorant of God's righteousness. Because he was telling the... Firstly, if you look at verse 1 of Romans 10, he said, brothers and sisters, my heart desires that what? Israel may be saved. His prayer and heart desire for Israel is that they be saved. Nobody was religious like them, even in Paul's time. Yet Paul said they are not saved. Look at verse 2. He says, for I bear them witness, they have zeal for God. You see that? You can have zeal for God and you'll be moving in the wrong direction. You can have zeal for God in the wrong direction. We say, but are not according to knowledge. Can you give me an TBT? Or the Amplifier, anyone you can find easily. Therefore, I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they are unenlightened. They can come and spend 10 hours yet unenlightened. Now, I'm not against prayer. But you see, speed in the right wrong direction is not something you should admire. That's why if you observe certain brothers and sisters, they don't like to talk about Christ like they talk about something they've done via their effort. You see, they don't boast in Christ. They don't boast about Christ. They boast about the time they spend in prayers. It is a proof of ignorance. It is a proof that you are ignorant about the righteousness of God. I was in prayer for 40 hours. I was fasting. If you boast about these things, you are ignorant of God's righteousness. Are you listening to me? Don't try to fit in the society. Don't try to fit in. Some of you have the truth, but when you just go around these places, you want to fit into, you want to make mouth. Don't try to make mouth. While I was growing up, I used to tell my friends, if you did not see any vision, don't lie that you saw visions. Don't try to do anything to make anybody feel that you are a big person in Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Just be at peace with yourself. Tell somebody, be at peace with yourself. You know, Jesus said to the devil, I want to prove to you that I'm a son of God. I will not change stone to bread. He said, change stone to bread to prove you are a son. Jesus did not change it. But who is Jesus? Does that change anything? Jesus is still the son of God. He doesn't need to prove that point to anybody. One of the ways Satan would tempt you in life is to make sure you do things to prove a point. Don't even try to be a strong Christian to prove a point. That's a wrong motive. It will not glorify God at the end. Say, I'm going to pray because people think that I will fail. I will show them that I will not fail. You see, it sounds nice, but that's wrong. They've called me a failure. I'll pray. Pray, oh. If not, people will say you fail. Pray, oh. That's a stupid way of thinking. Just pray. Because God is in us both to will and the doing of his good pleasure. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to pray. Yes, sir. And how do you steer the fire of prayer? Revelation.
You see, if you stay with the Holy Ghost, the direction he will first take you through is the direction of revelation. Because everything the Holy Ghost is supposed to do is supposed to make sure at the end you arrive being like Christ. That's his job. The Holy Ghost's job is to make sure that you are like Christ Jesus. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's his job description. Whatever the falling, if you fall, you stand up, we're still going to be like Christ. The journey is being like Christ. So when you come to church, sometimes we'll lay hands on you just to refresh you. But it doesn't mean you should stay on the ground. You should stand up and see Jesus. Whatever we're doing to you is to strengthen you to see Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Not to keep you on the ground. Are you all listening to me? Are you understanding me tonight? So he said, your word is truth. You know, people don't understand that you are not powerful because of titles. I always used to tell my brothers those days when we were growing up. I had a nickname, they called me Grace and Cross Preacher in the barracks. And they thought they were mocking me, some of them. They say Grace and Cross Preacher. They will laugh, Grace and Cross Preacher. I'll be passing out, yeah, Grace and Cross Preacher. But they were teaching very, very interesting things. Because sometimes if you sit down, you'll be tempted to think those things are interesting. You may want to buy into them. Mantles, potters, dimensions, and things like that. You see somebody explaining some kind of thing you have never heard in your life before. And it should be looking like an adventure movie. The way they will paint is to look like truly this guy is talking about Elijah. There's a spirit of Elijah in this place. You may be tempted to be moved. But at the end of it, you will find out there is no change. No change, because whatever we emphasized was not Christ. What will sanctify? He said, your word is what? Truth. He said, something has to happen to me so that when I'm revealed as the Christ in this capacity, I can what? Sanctify the people. So if Christ is not revealed, nothing can truly happen to anybody. Remember, the focal point in verse 16 is that the enemy wants to take people, but he said, don't take them away from the word, but protect them from what? The evil one. In other words, if that sanctification is not realized, if what happened to Jesus is not known by us, what has happened to Jesus? He's resurrected. If we don't understand the resurrection, which he calls the sanctification, does happen to him, are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Then we will not be protected from the evil one. We will not rule and reign upon the evil one. Like he doesn't exist. He did not say time of prayer. He did not say, he actually just emphasized something happening to him. In 17 he had said, sanctify them by your truth. At the tail of 17 he said, your word is truth. In 19 he then clarifies everything. He says what? For their sakes I what? That they also may be what? And it relates to something he says somewhere in John 12. Let's see very briefly. John 10:12. I mean, verse 32. Is it 32? Bring it up. Let's see. Verse 32. Give me an amplified rendition. I want everyone to read. It has a lot of similarity with what you just read. Want to read? Can we read together? Want to go? And I, if and when I'm lifted up from the earth, on the will what? Gentiles. That's what the whole world was made up of in those days. Jews, then every other person, Gentile. He said, and I, if I am lifted up, not being carried. How is he lifted up or revealed in other rendition? On the cross. Are you forget what I'm trying to say? He said, in that capacity I can what? Draw all men. Fulfilling what he meant by protecting the people from the evil one. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because the sanctification has to do with his death, burial, and resurrection. The cross. In this capacity, I can what? Draw men. And no one will become a prey to the devil. See, firstly is revelation. Satan is not scared. If I declare 50 hours prayers, he's not scared. He knows what will take him off. But you see, God's people, funny enough, most human beings have low self-esteem. They can't stand with the truth. They can't stand with the truth. We want. That's why you see people, when you seem like, when you just look zealous, they think you know what you're doing. God's word so well. What can change people is the truth. It's not zeal wrongly manifested. There's a place for prayer, and it is a very huge place in spirituality, in becoming like Christ. Are we together? But you can't truly pray until you truly understand what Christ. That's why you must invest so much in knowledge. Listen to me, all of you. Don't be moved by all these things you see on the media. Invest so much in what? Knowledge. Know Christ for yourself. And you can never know Christ for yourself. When I'm done now, you just go and drop your note. It's not possible. You must try to understand what you heard in church. And you have questions if you try to understand it yourself. You definitely have questions. When I see people asking me questions, I now begin to understand they know what they are doing. If I don't hear questions from you, you have been pastoring for a long time, no questions, you don't know what you are doing. You should go home and ask yourself, I missed something. I don't think I got what prophet meant here. I don't think, well, prophet, you said this and I said, well, no, this person is trying to grow. There were some kind of Christians like that in Acts 18, right? Paul was not, right? Acts 17, yes. The Bible calls them what? Paul was excited. He was not ashamed of them. He didn't feel bad. His ego was not moved. In fact, he applauded them. That they will go back and vet what he says, come back with question. So he made Paul excited. He said they were wonderful Christians. And you know, you will know you are not powerful when you go back home. Or sometimes some people that travel. Yes, sometimes even leaders. You'd be amazed. You travel away from the state and Satan just cut out all of your conviction in less than 2-3 months. Because you were just enjoying the blessing of the corporate anointing. You didn't have nothing for yourself. Anytime you come and people are hot like firewood, you just get plugged in and you begin to burn. Alright? And now that you are plugged out, you didn't, that fire was not sustained in and on you. You went wheresoever you went to, and the fire was just quenched all of a sudden. Because you were never working on yourself. Are you get what I'm trying to say? Just like King Saul, he came amidst prophet, did nothing, started prophesying. Nothing. That's how the corporate anointing works. You don't need to do anything. You just come sit down on a Tuesday, sit down on a Sunday, be around with your friends, and you're just enjoying the glory of God. You see yourself doing what is right, see yourself pursuing God, and all of a sudden, boom, you went for NYSC service. Because you were never working on yourself personally or giving the Holy Spirit the privilege to work on your inside. As you go there, we are not there again. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Whatever team you used to be in church was not holding every Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Monday, or Tuesday again. You are now there all by yourself. So if you truly did not have a secret place, you can't light your world. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? You can't light your world. All of a sudden, you are just quenched like fire. Just quench, like fire that is not strong. Just quench you. Now that this brings me to the real fulfillment of my sermon. Now everyone listen. One time I was meditating and the Lord told me, he said, do you know everything I want to give you is around you? I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? He said, check, everything I want to give you is around you. Then I remembered what Jacob said. He said, the Lord was in this place and I what? And I knew not. He didn't expect God in that place. The Lord, listen carefully. He said, the Lord was in this place and I knew not. I became amazed. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Lord was in this place and I knew not. God told me, I'm closer to you than you can ever expect. I said, Lord, how? He said, through the people around you, I'm not far. Now listen carefully. The Lord told me, he said, if people can learn to honor themselves, love themselves, respect themselves, they will tap into my grace very easily from themselves. Now this is quite deep, yet it sounds so shallow. Well, let me help you understand. 1 Corinthians 12. Came from the last part of that scripture.
the last part of that scripture. I wish I would not have to look at my phone. He said, but earnestly, what is the best gift? And yet I show you a more excellent way. So let's imagine a situation, and I'm sure that's the situation, that the church probably in Corinth has seen one or two folks manifesting some dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Some were healing the sick, some were prophesying. Are we together?
Yes,
some were doing one or two things. Are we together?
Yes,
are you all here?
Yes, sir.
Let's imagine, like, in this place, you are healing the sick. You found that, you know, that was one of the things you realized when you got filled with the Holy Ghost early. And you had a unique manifestation. Every one of us had unique manifestation. So Paul said, the reason why, if you see anybody, you don't need to jealous the person. If you see somebody doing what you wish to manifest, you don't need to jealous the person. There is nothing like gifts of the Spirit. He did not give you one gift and give another person another gift. Listen carefully. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It is wrongly interpreted as gifts with S. In the root word, it is manifestations of the Spirit. It is one Holy Ghost, diverse manifestation. Are you all filled the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
So now, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost, you all have diverse what? Manifestations of the Spirit yet in action. What I mean is that you could heal the sick now, you could prophesy right now. That doesn't mean she can't heal the sick and you cannot prophesy. So I'm trying to switch whatever you can do. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? So is it the Holy Ghost you have? Is it the Holy Ghost he's manifesting yet as healing the sick? He's manifesting yet as the Spirit of prophecy? Paul said, don't fight. Don't jealous yourself. Just covet it. You can covet here. It's not a sin. Because you have what it takes to produce that. You have not just realized it yet. But how do you covet it? Paul said there's a more excellent way to covet it. He said, work in love. So he said, if you love yourselves, are you getting what I'm trying to say now? Am I making you people confused? He said, if you can love yourselves, there are a whole lot of scripture that teaches us how to walk in love. I mean, God emphasizing union, for brotherly union in church. It paints a picture that there should be a reward. There should be something that will be, how do I put it? There should be a resultant effect of this union. For God to be emphasizing union, the need for union. There should be something that he knows we cannot only achieve through unity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? For him to be emphasizing unity, he should know there's something we can only achieve as a body through unity in the church. Are we together? See how he emphasizes this unity, for instance. Let me leave 1 Corinthians 13 because I'll end with that. It says in Romans 13:8. Let's read it together. Romans 13:8. He said, let not debt remain outstanding. Okay, let me read here. He said, owe no one anything except to love one another. Right? He said, for he who loves, give me the Amplified edition so that it makes a lot of sense more. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love and to seek the best for one another. For he who is what? For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. Owe nothing to what? Anyone except to what? And to seek the best for one another. If there was no, if there was no, let me put, should I call it blessing? Or interest that God wants to see manifested through or in this world for our sake. Alright? If that thing doesn't exist, God would have not told us to. God would have not emphasized unity like he's emphasizing in scripture for one another. He would have not emphasized brotherly love like he emphasized in scripture. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So see what he says here. Can we have it in TBT rendition? He said, don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. So, I mean, whatever the law was driving towards by all his commandments and etc. was to the end that human beings can love one another as they love themselves. You know, it sounds so light. Huh? It doesn't sound like mantra.
It doesn't sound like Rams and Elijah, you know, all those things. It sounds so... It said if you can love one another, you fulfilled the law. Amazing. I was teaching leaders on Saturday. I said, the Bible says in the book of John, it said, love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart. In the original, I said, and prove it by loving your neighbors as yourself. So, how many of you love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart? The only way you can prove it is not by raising your hand. It's by loving your what? Neighbors as yourself. It said, if you cannot love your neighbor as yourself, you truly don't love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart. Also, the Bible says in the book of John, it says, he that loves his brother has passed from death unto life. That means all this thing about what Jesus has done on the cross, we died with Christ, we resurrected. If it has truly worked in you, you should be able to love your neighbor as yourself. I have died with Christ, I resurrected. If you cannot talk nicely to people, it said nothing has truly worked on your inside. I wish this church is following what I'm trying to teach them tonight. Because I'm wondering whether you are wondering where the hell I'm going to. Like, where is this man going to? We still have not gotten the point. Where is the prophet going to? Give me verse 9 of this part of scripture. For the commandment says, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Do not commit adultery, do not what? Murder, do not what? Do not what? If you love people the way you love yourself, you will not sleep with somebody else's wife. Because you don't want anybody to sleep with your wife. If you love yourself, if you love people the way you love yourself, you don't want yourself dead. You will not kill anybody. Huh? Whether physical or with your tongue. Do you know how many people have closed doors for people with their tongue? If you love yourself and you truly love people, I mean, if you love people the way you love yourself, you will not talk against them wrongly. Sometimes you know the truth, but you can't even say it. I don't mean cover sin for people wrongly. You know, I heard a teaching somewhere that if you catch your man of God sleeping with a woman, just leave there. It's part of honor. And close the door for him. Let them not catch him. That's stupidity. That's not the teachings of Christ. Are we together? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that if you truly are walking in love, you know, people who like to talk about the downfall of people. And what I mean by downfall, they just like to hear that somebody has failed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Ah, Jerry has finally failed. What we heard is true. The lady is now pregnant. Hey, don't do like this. You see, they don't love that person like they love them. Because if they are truly genuine to themselves, they've sinned before. Huh? And God did not tell anybody that you sinned. Imagine God used to tell people your sin before you meet them. Somebody wants to toast you and God is ministering to the guy. This lady, let me tell you a sin before you see whether you can go. And he begins to tell you all the sin you have committed. Do you know many people will not marry? Some people know the bad things they've done. Oh. That's why Jesus asks the Pharisees, if there's any one of you that have not done sin, I am now, carry stone. They just left. They were so surprised. God Almighty that they were standing for. It was God that was their motivation to them. Oh. The assumed God, the wrong picture of God they had, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Was the reason why they carried stone. They had a law because of how much they love God that if you sin, will kill you. And the God appeared. It's not amazing that a lot of times you can picture from that, you can trace from that, that a lot of times people can have wrong pictures about God. These people have been practicing this thing for many years, yet God came, he was totally different from what they were practicing. He said he came to his own said, leave us, get out. They were practicing God. God came to them. They could not recognize him. Religion is so terrible. And he said, if there is anyone without sin, and all of them left, he said, woman, you have no accuser. Stand up and go. Just like that, somebody now said, maybe because it's Jesus, that's why they are not saying it. Maybe if it's Prophet Simon, they'll say, okay, you are encouraging sin. No, brother, you don't understand. That woman's life can never remain the same again. The Bible says something so contradictory to religion. It says it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The human mind cannot comprehend that. It sounds too good to be true. That goodness leads to repentance. Not rot. Goodness. You know, many of you, if you have not experienced that, you don't understand what I'm saying. That you are so nice to somebody, they couldn't help you again. I've had those experiences one or two times. And they cry. And they come around and they apologize. He's just looking at them. How God has transformed them because you were still good amidst their wickedness. Amidst their foolishness. You know, the prodigal son thought about the goodness of his father's kingdom before he came back. He said, my father's kingdom, even servants, they eat food. They eat well. When he thought of that, he said, I'm coming back. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, I'm coming back. You know, I tell people, I don't pray against the devil. So they think the devil will kill me because I don't pray against the devil. I said, all I do is to know the word of God and walk in love. And there is no force against love. And their human mind cannot comprehend that. Maybe they want me to stand up, I bind every spirit. I don't do that. I'm too civilized in the spirit to do that. I don't do it. Yet there is no time I ever moved on the street and wouldn't discern a devil trying to move a human body. I wouldn't discern a demon You know, one time I was in Mama Chan, I told her someone was a wizard. She was wondering how the hell I knew that. And I told her he tried to blah, 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 blah. You know, that we are saying these things. If you are saying this, if, you know, one thing with some of us who think we are new creation realities generation, one funny mistake we make is that we now think that we now get so much civilized in this Western ideology and live spirituality. I don't know that you can get what I'm trying to say. That you so much understand that to you, you think you are a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And now because of that, you are unconscious of angelic presence. Not realizing that you have come into an innumerable multitude of angels. I don't know that people are getting on trying to explain. So our focus is not angels. That we are like Christ simply means we have come into that world. We are just conscious of our place in Christ. And all of these spiritual realities, like it will be around Christ, is around us. Get what I'm trying to say? The stone Jacob laid his head, the Bible likens that stone to Christ. Calls it the chief cornerstone, some sort of. Are we together? Now, the Bible says, Jacob laid his head on that stone and realized that he was at the gate of heaven. There is no place, if you go to that place right now, without the consciousness of the Christ, you will not have any angelic presence, manifestation. If you go to that same spot where Jacob was, you will stand, you may be amazed, there's a hotel now, and people are fornicating and committing adultery there, right now. What made that place the gate of heaven was the fact that the stone on which he laid his head was what? Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible gave us a picture. It said, the Bible likens that stone to Christ. The Bible said the things written in the Old Testament are for our learning. That simply means, alright, if you are conscious of the Christ, if you are rested in Christ, walking with the consciousness of the Christ, anywhere you stand, you are in connection with heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says all, he said in Christ Jesus, we are part of the family of God in heaven. So in Christ, we are part of heaven's family, even though we are on the earth. So the consciousness of the Christ tears the realities of the heavens for any believer. You just, your own part of the equation is to have the consciousness of the Christ. Just rest in Christ. And as you rest in Christ, the Bible said in Hebrews 12, he said, you have come to mount. You didn't try to go to Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? is a spiritual picture of some spiritual reality. Some sort of, are we together? He said, because of you are in Christ and are conscious of this, he said, you have come to Mount Zion. So what brought you into this realm is not that you saw the realm physically and entered there, but that you were conscious of the Christ, and only a people like Christ can function in that realm. So since you are thinking like Christ now, somehow that's a spiritual reality, that realm. You were caught up in that realm. Do you know angels are here?
Yes, sir.
Point where angels are. Where are they? Point. Except the Lord opens your eye, you will not see wherever they are, but they are here. They are here. Are you guys getting confused? No, there's no confusion anywhere. Just the consciousness of Christ tears these things around you. So, this morning, for instance, my guys are not here. They went for wedding. They would have shared this story with you. We went to Byland, and one of them, you know, these people, there's some of these Asian people, they give, they think it's good charm. It's a good thing. They give protection to their children and their children's children. So immediately I arrived there with Pastor Ed and some of the pastors to check the land. They wanted to get some land. Pastor Ed wanted to get some for business. We just shook with the man who owns the place. And we started moving. As we're going, he said he's not himself. I was wondering what was wrong with him. And while we're coming by, he stopped. I said, please, I have a question. I miss all of us. He said, is this man a pastor? They said, yes, he's a pastor. He's our father in the faith and etc. I said, there, Jesus. I had internal heat, blah, 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 blah. Immediately, I shook him. He said, I didn't know how he explained it. He said, he just started sweating. And things like that, you know, he was not himself again. So he said, something spiritual about this guy. You know, it's not like the manifestation he had yet was more of the positive. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. It was a little bit of the negative. So he was in his heart, something is wrong somewhere. There must be a spiritual person around there. So when he asked the question and they answered, he said, please, I should pray for him again. Because something is not right with him. And I picked it immediately that he had a fetish protection. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And as we shook, immediately broke. Immediately broke. So I told my guys, I said, we're not going to pray for him. He's still going to be fine. He has just broken that thing. Now he has to leave. All that will be functioning in him is either humanity or he should catch the spiritual side of God. But he will not die. So we left. And I said, we will still buy the land. Because, you know, some Christians, when they hear that a wizard has a land, they run away from the land. The earth is the Lord's. His fullness thereof. The world and what? It's that simple and light. It's not serious. It's not a serious thing at all. The devil is not somebody you should be serious about. The Bible said the fight is not with him. It is to lay hold of what Jesus has done for you. The bad fight is that you are fighting him. Die, Satan. It's a bad fight because he's dead. It's a useless fight. The good fight is that what Jesus has done, you are saying it has to work on your inside. That's a good fight. And whatever your faith wants, that's it. Jesus said in scripture, it is your faith that makes you whole. He's done everything, but faith is the victory. Are you all listening to me? We can all sit here and somebody will say, I will never again sin in my life. That's powerful. That's powerful. A lot of naysayers will come around and say, it's not possible. I tried that. You are not the standard, you that failed. You are not the standard. Christ Jesus is the standard. He was not ignorant of all the feelings of our infirmity, yet he was never subjected to sin. Glory to God. He is the standard. Listen, if you think God has given sin one bit of a chance, why do you shout on people? Why are you angry when some kind of sins happen upon the face of the earth? Why? I just painted a picture of what, you know, that we're walking in love does not mean we're less anointed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And that we're walking in love, for some of us who claim to be new realities folks, does not mean we should not be conscious of the spirituality that surrounds us. It's not possible. I tell you, you'd be so amazed. When you get to heaven and Satan, God forbid, Satan did something that took you to heaven early, you'd be so amazed how you'd be spoken to. When you get to heaven and see how they describe Satan, he's in a test tube. Is it test tube they call it? Is that the right word in chemistry, microbiology? Where they put in a petri dish, thank you. That's where he is in the realm of the spirit. When they want to talk about Satan in heaven, the Bible says there is no place found for him. He doesn't have a place there. So when they want to tell some angels, alright, about Satan, probably they did not see his reign. They say, come all of you, come to the lab. You see this guy that has some strong names in Nigeria. One of the names is Ezioku. Isn't it? Because the guy feels like he's a strong guy. See the name of God in Igbo. What is the name? Huh? What is Satan's name again? Ekwensu, sorry. Ekwensu. You see how... Yeah, it's close. You see how ambiguous it is. Give me a light name. Satan does not have a light name in Igbo. Give me God's name in Igbo. Chineke, you see. So chill. Chineke. What was Satan's name? Ekwensu. And Idoma calls Satan's name. Ohe. What is God's name? Ohe. You know, when you pronounce God's name, you are relaxed. Satan's name is stress. Because they feel the guy is stressful. You understand? Even in Hausa, Satan kai kriya, Satan. It gives a lot of stress. The name of God, light. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says in the realm of the spirit where God is, there was no place found for him. No place found for Satan. He doesn't have a place. He can exist. He can't even exist there. He can't land there if he's taking a flight. Because there's no place. Every part of heaven is designed to fire his life. If he gets to heaven now, he will experience a second death. That one that they will just capture him. He will stop existing. Lake of fire experience will happen to him. That's another topic for another day. Let me just breeze in. He can't even exist there. He will just off. There's no place for him there. He can't penetrate that realm. He can't penetrate to that realm. No place. So all they do is to put him in a test tube. Because that's why in the realm of the spirit where God is, Satan is in a test tube. On the earth, the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because they know him, you will lie. Woe to the accuser, inhabitants of the earth. For the accuser of the brethren has been what? So they say, woe, hey, trouble has come for these people. Satan is coming to the earth. He said, but nevertheless, there are some people that will defeat him by what? The blood of a lamb, through the words of their testimony. The blood in the original, it is the blood of a lamb, true. Let the redeem of the Lord say so. You enter into the redemption by your words. You see that? Very important. We believe and faith is fulfilled when we believe and speak, not when we believe and believe and believe and believe. We believe and speak is faith. This is how you win. You're struggling from situations, trouble, addiction. You don't try to shout. Don't shout yet. You've been shouting for many years. It has not gone. Think. Start thinking the word of God. It is believe and speaking. And believe does not mean you just think something. After a few seconds, you don't start shouting. He said, meditate upon the word day and night. He said, you will make your path prosperous. And you will have good success. You are the one that will determine yourself having a beautiful experience as a Christian. Are you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, meditate upon it day and night. And of course, meditation involves your mouth, even though it does not start with that. It involves your mouth. Your mouth and your heart. Can you still say think glory and shout promise? If you observe, when you just say promise, the glory left your heart. So, how do you remove wrong thoughts from your heart? Not by thinking another the right thought. Not by taking the right thought in your heart. It's a technique in the realm of the spirit. meditation technique. If you are thinking a stupid thing, say the nice, a nice thing. So if that start thinking lacks, I have money, glory, I have money. That stupid thought will go away. Did you get this now? David describes his mouth like a pen, which he uses to write things in his heart. This is a manifestation of that. Satan is bringing wrong things in your heart. Speak the right things. The wrong things will go away.
Yes.
Say, I'm not defeated. I can't be defeated. Glory to God forevermore.
Glory.
Tell all of them outside to come in. I can't be defeated. I've been bought with a price. It sounds too good to be true, isn't it? When I'm done teaching you, don't go out and when somebody shouts, you now ignore what you have said. It's not shouting that makes words powerful. How many of you have shouted on the police and they still say enter the car? Like you shouted, they still say enter the car. Enter the car. It's not your shouting. How many of you shouted for your dad that he wanted to go for a party years ago and he still said, sit down in this house. You're going nowhere. That's authority, man. You were shouting, daddy, everybody, blah, 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 blah. Daddy, I don't know what else. My friend, go inside there and sit down. And you cannot do anything about it. You cannot unfather your father. Most of you wanted to disfather your father. How would I call it now? Disown or the father. But is it possible? You cannot. He's still your father. His blood flows through your vein. If they test you sharp, his face will just come out from your blood. You can't do anything. He will tell you, go back there and sit. That's authority. Like I do to my daughter, Shekinah. When she's trying to stroke her hand, I just come, I say, stop. She'll just start crying. If she just see me when she's sucking her hand, she'll just start crying. Because she knows that she has to remove the hand. It doesn't matter the tears and the cry, she'll still remove the hand. You just, but she has removed the hand. So even if she keeps on crying for 2 years, the hand must be down. I don't use to pity her and say, put it back. Even if headache wants to come, let it come. But that hand must be down. Somebody say, which kind of wicked father is that? He's a good father. That's how God is. Because if I allow her to be sucking her hand, I'm training her with she's having these addictive vibes. Some of you don't understand what I'm trying to say. That when you want to sleep, you see some of them is babies, you just sit there. Then it helps them to sleep. So if you don't do that, you can't sleep. That's a problem you should start to. Some of you that your parents showed you love, you still have one or two addictions. Some of you are chewing your teeth. Some of you, you just sit down and be doing them. Even if you have two children, tell you, stop doing that. Your child, if you are not careful, your child wonder with the mommy, stop that now. We've been telling you this thing for so long. Stop that. To you, your parents love you and they left you in that kind of thing. See you today. You are not thinking it though, but your hand is just moving. You don't even know. Oh my God. Unconsciously, it has become part of your life. How do you win? Start thinking the right thoughts. Alright? Understand Christ properly.
Yes, sir.
When you understand Christ, He disengages anything sin, addictive vibes, anything Satan from your life. He washes you clean. Tell somebody clean.
Clean.
Very clean. Satan is not powerful though. It's just ignorance that is making him look so powerful. Some of you think, if you're addicted to anything, you think you stop there. You want to stop it. You don't try to stop the act. Whatever controls the act is your thinking. The Bible says no one makes progress beyond the prosperity of his mind. Of his mind, I mean. 3 John 2. Dear beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your
soul. So
you cannot prosper beyond the prosperity of your mind. I told somebody something. I said, why do you think Christians are more addicted to pornography than unbelievers? You think it's a lie? Oh my God. It's the truth. Yes. Religious Christians are more. I was listening to somebody, he gave the statistics. Some say, how did they know? Oh my God, they know. You don't know us. We'll find you wherever you are. Even if they tell you enter browser, enter cognition modes and all those things, rather you're on your own. They made the phone and they are telling you what mode to enter. Somehow they should have the advantage to disengage anything they want to disengage. And that's how they find out some of these things. And you know why Christians are the most addicted? Because immediately they became Christians, they want to start fighting Satan. Immediately they became Christians, they want to start fighting Satan. Through fear for sin, were held captive by the devil. Fear for death kept them captive. Let's see it in verse 14 of Hebrews 2. True fear for death were held captive by Satan. Fear for death. Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself said that through death he might what? Destroy him who had the power. Give me verse 15, right? Is it 15 or 13? Give me verse 15. 15. And release those who through what? Were all what? In their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear is a snare, the book of Proverbs says. True fear for death. It is not death that subjected them. It was what? Fear for death. Give me the TPT. All right, take it away. I find that as indiscipline. Amen? So he said, true fear for death. In their lifetime, they were held captive by the devil. Fear for death. Fear is a snare. I don't want to sin. Fear for, what is the consequences of sin? Huh? And the Bible speaks about death in Romans, Revelation 6 and 8. Death as a modern realm. Right? And physical death as a subset of the union set mother realm debt. Can you remember? So in other words, poverty is under debt, right? Can we see it? So I look and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was what? And he hates what? And power was given to them over what? To what? With what? With what? And what? So you see that? Mother realm debt. Within that has to kill with sword, right? A subset of the real realm debt, the mother realm debt, poverty, physical debt, beasts. So all of these things happen. Why are lions killing human beings today? Dead. Lions that were never created to kill human beings. I hope you will know. Huh? Did I say go and buy lion? Huh? Did you hear from my mother that you should buy lion? But what am I telling you from the scriptures? The Bible says, yeah, because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that in those days it said both lamb and what? The lamb and the lion will eat from the same source. But if you try that today, the lion will eat the lamb. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see, even, but we're talking about debt. So I believe if we go back to Hebrews 2 and 15, true fear for death, that word death simply means the realm of Satan and all of his influence and everything he can do there. They were scared of Satan's influence, Satan and everything he can do, and that's why they were subjected to him under his mastery for their lifetime. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Okay, if you don't believe me, look at verse 14. It says, for instance, it makes a lot of sense to think like this. Look at verse 14. It said, inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through that he might what? Destroy him. Who had what? That is what? The devil. Right? Verse 15. And release those who through fear of what? Were all their lifetime subject to what? Satan. So the emphasis is who? Satan. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He became like us so that he can defeat Satan and subject death. Alright? So that those who were scared of Satan their lifetime will stop being scared of Satan and stop being under the mastery of Satan. What kept them under the mastery of Satan? Fear of Satan. Now that Satan is destroyed, where is death? Where is your sting? Oh, death. He's the master of the realm. Of the realm death. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Satan has been destroyed. Death has been destroyed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And right now, remember the formula does not change. Fear for death subjected them. Satan has been destroyed. Death has been destroyed. If you are scared of Satan now, you'll still be subjected. The formula has not changed. What will subject you now? Fear for Satan. What has happened to Satan? He has been subjected. The Bible said their lifetime they were subjected, but Jesus came, destroy Satan, destroy death. And he's not expecting you to be scared of death anymore. Say, I'm not scared of death. There are things you do that prove you are scared of death. You are scared of Satan. When you sing certain songs, they prove that you are scared of Satan. Let me sing one of these songs. I look for one of them and sing. I'm scared because I don't want to fully sing one. You know how people can be, though. Don't think I'm trying to have a problem with the person. But let me just summarize like this. Any song that makes you look under the mastery, smaller than Satan, don't sing those kind of songs. Don't say those kind of words. Don't say them. There are things I don't want to do. We've not even finished interpreting the scripture. He took it from the root. I started singing it as a song. I remember I was arguing with a white man years ago. Some of you have seen the man. He's my friend now. We argued in a blog and we became friends on Facebook. Simon Gomez. How many of you have seen the man? Many people today who are his friends, they became his friend. You know, Africans can be funny. They just see one white friend in your list and everybody's adding, should in case they will leave the country. Amen. Years ago, and why people who added it was because he started doing this cardboard. If you remember, he does cardboard, this, you write anticipating cardboard and snap and send to me. I'll post, you post on Facebook and tag me. We were arguing about Romans 7 in a blog. And I told him, he said, Romans 7 is the reality, present reality of a believer. I said, no, it is not. I was a very young man that time. Because I understand that the nature of God has nothing to do with sin. Yes, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, don't see that because we love the sinner. We don't mistaken we loving the sinner to loving the sin. God loves the sinner forever. While we're yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He loves the sinner unconditionally. But God does not love the sin. His nature will never support sin. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. God loves you. But God doesn't want sin in your life. Not because sin has something to do to him directly, but because sin will destroy you and he gave birth to you. He has your best interest at heart. Sin destroying you is like sin affecting him. Sin distorting his ambition. I don't know how to put these words together. Are we together? So he said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, is the present reality of a believer. I said, no, that's not. If we read verse 1, he said, I write to them that know the law. He was not writing to the present day church. He was writing to the Jews. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He said, the law is good, but the system is bad. 9 and 10 of Romans 7. Then in 13, 14, he said, the law had the ways of a spiritual man, but I am so. Paul in that time, well, not the present day Paul when he was writing. Paul, while he was trying to live by the law, he said the law had the ways of a spiritual man. He said, but we are so under the nature of what? Sin and death. He said, that is why in verse 15, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself what? Doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can what? Deliver me. If it was okay, he would have not said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can what? Deliver me. I don't know how you people are getting what I'm trying to say. Now look at the last part of this scripture. The last verse of Romans. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the man I myself would serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But verse 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the, but according to what? You know, I heard somebody preaching this, and I really feel the person was not being sincere. He said, this part of the scripture at the tail was added. It was not in the original. I said, you are not being sincere. It doesn't favor your mindset about redemption. It's not, it's like this in the original. I've read the scripture countless times in the original. This is written. In fact, one time I took my Greek Bible, I was reading it word for word. It's even more ambiguous, but the summation of it is exactly like this. You know, when this, the intent of the writer is actually disclosed, there's no need to keep on breaking and breaking and breaking. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You can say a lot of things, but you just mean one thing. I don't know how you people get what I'm trying to say. So there's no need to be going to root words again. But this was the intent of the writer. If you look at verse 2, you understand, because he still emphasizes the spirit there. Verse 2, it says, for the law of the spirit of life in what? Has made me free from law of what? You see that? He had to put the spirit there. If there was no spirit in verse 1, why is it connecting? Verse 3, what the law could not do, if there was no spirit and flesh, they would have not been talking about it from verse 1 to verse 3. What the law could not do in that it was weak through, God did by sending in the word on the account. He condemns sin. If you look at the tale of verse 1, because they don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. What was happening in verse 7? The reason why they were subjected was because of the flesh. I told you to read the tale. It said, through my mind I serve God, but in the flesh I still serve sin. So what was subjecting Paul at that time? The flesh. What the law could not do because of the flesh. So Paul starts by saying there is now no condemnation for us because we don't walk after, but after. So you're not going to condemn us again. Because as we're walking in the spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the... So it's not talking about the believer's sin being forgiven alone, but the probability of a believer not sinning at all also. Why? Because the believer is walking in the spirit. Are you all listening to me? But remember how we started in John 17. How do you truly actualize this reality and walk in the spirit? By understanding the sanctified truth. What is the sanctified truth? Jesus the resurrected. Jesus the Christ. Are you getting confused? You must rightly divide the word of truth to understand Jesus the Christ. If you understand him, he is a source of change. If you are just joining us, you may be confused. You can get the message. We started from a long time. Isn't it, church? Hallelujah to Jesus. So you get my emphasis. If you respect each other, I'm going to end there again. Eagerly desire the best gift. You remember the illustration, right? Let's do it again. Come, brother. This man that looks like a military general. Don't worry, you'll get NDA one day. I know you've been trying. You're there already. Yes, yes. I like that fit. Hallelujah. He just corrected. Eh? You are Itama 2 now. There, Jesus Christ. I didn't even know. That's good. I was not wrong then when I said he looked like a general. They've taken on you. My God. You have served plenty job, right? I hope you are not buying job. They would have not been beating you, love. It's just one phone call. We own those places. Nobody will beat you again. Eh? You understand? Hallelujah to Jesus. So, take for instance that this man, Daniel, is working in the gift of healing. And Jairus is working in the gift of prophecy. Alright? And like I said it is wrongly interpreted as gifts. Because this is what it ministers to the hearts of people. My gift, na prophecy. Your gift, na healing. So Paul observed that there was some kind of a bias in the heart of people in the church in Corinth. There was some sort of jealousy. I mean, they see somebody, I'm seeing that you used to like a red skirt while you were in Lagos. There's this red skirt you used to like and this and that and that. Why are you laughing? Am I right? Yeah, I can be right even in the joke. It's possible. And while you are talking like that, you're like, wow. This guy is walking the gift of prophecy. Wow. And probably the guy is not hating on me. is hating on me because there's no sick person to heal in their assembly. So what was making sense was prophecy. But his ability to heal could not find expression. No one is sick. Is anybody sick in the house? Nobody is sick. And maybe the baby is liking is not sick, but she had a problem that prophecy can solve. And Daniel was, my God, was on fire. Daniel was like, Amen, Amen. I see. And Jerry is like, if I catch this idiot after this church. She's smiling already. So Paul is like, well, don't fight yourselves. If you desire the best gift, just whatever you think is the best, just covet it. Because the source to the manifestation is on your inside. You have all received the fullness of the Holy Ghost. He has the Holy Ghost. But what is the Holy Ghost doing yet in his life? Prophesying. What is the Holy Ghost doing yet in his life? Healing the sick. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? So both of them have the Holy Ghost that can heal the sick and prophesy. They can switch abilities. Paul is like, you can just start prophesying. You can just start healing the sick. You can just start prophesying. It's already within you. That's what the Bible says. Grace and peace is multiplied in knowledge. If you know you can do it, it begins to flow. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But see something now. This man has a bad motive. He's angry because this guy is taking this babe by the spirit of prophecy. So Paul says there's a better, more excellent way to get these things all at work on your inside. What is that more excellent way? It's a love. So that means if you walk in love, you will not be feeling bad that somebody is trying to take you. You just have a good love. Is not offended. Love is nice. You can tell all the stories about love in 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? Love keeps no record of wrong. Now, if you are walking in love, there is no limitation for the spirit to find full flow. All the force of heaven will flow through your life. You can heal the sick, you can prophesy. Everything can find expression because no force can stand against the force of love. When you're going to walk in love, the Bible says you have fulfilled the whole mandate of the law. So possibly more excellent ways, not even try to covet self. Is it just walk in love? Everything that's working in everybody will begin to find expression at the right time. You know, a man walking in love is not proud. He only wants the hand of God to find manifestation where necessary. He's not trying to prove a point. He's at peace with himself. Yes, sir. He's in a service where people are prayer, where people are praying and everybody is seeing, and he truly did not say anything and he's still glorifying God. He's crying and worshiping God because that's what matters at that point. If God opens his eye, he still tell, I see this. If he did not see, no problem. But when you begin to lie that you see, and lie that you see, it will get to a point where you truly have to see and you will not see. Because you don't know what is true from what is false. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Tell somebody, be at peace with yourself. That's why you see that in the church. We're looking more like mocking stuff. Somebody is in church for several years. They are claiming to hear God. Yet they don't even know what job to pick. They don't even know. The Spirit of God is not directing them even in life. Because they've been joking and lying. All sort of things with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says, I should marry that girl. The Holy Ghost said, this man is the man. As you are lying, you are making his voice fainted in the realm of, in your heart. You can't hear him clearly again. For every time you disobey him, his voice gets fainted. He does not leave you, but you can't hear him clearly again. When you hear him so clear, ignore. You become a time will come, you are not so familiar with his voice again. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. He said, it is my sheep. Who are sheep? People that follow their shepherd. He said, it is my sheep that knows my voice. When you become a goat, you don't know his voice anymore again. Because you have been disobedient. You will not recognize his voice. Are you all listening to me tonight? And that's the problem. God told me, he said, son, he said, many, many young people. One time I was listening to someone and I was so amazed what was coming out from the heart of this preacher, the mouth of this preacher. I put my hand on my head. It's someone I'm close to. And I was asking myself, like Elijah would say, he said he thought he was the most anointed until the Lord told him, the Lord have not bowed to Baal. I said, God, there are a lot of people. This man, I don't know if there are a lot of people, but I said, this man is saying some wonderful mysteries here. He knows what he's doing. And I said, okay, why is it that we're in Nigeria, but we're just looking for people far to learn from? When they are very close to us, he said to me, the Lord is in this place, Jacob said. But he what? Knew not. I wish you get what I'm trying to say. I was discussing with my friend. I said, sometimes we it's because we are so familiar with ourselves. I said, as all of us are here now, as we are talking, you want to tell me that all you people need is not within us here. But we are so familiar with ourselves that we don't see the glory of God in our lives. I asked the question, I said, what will any of you want to need here? That if we truly respect ourselves, God will not light it up in our heart for each other. But because we are so familiar with ourselves, we'll be looking for it far. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? With what I saw that man doing in Nigeria, Abuja, I was like, Jesus Christ. And if you see, that man is not so loud. As I'm talking, none of you can even guess him. My wife, she knows it. I always visit him when I go to Abuja. And one day I just plug this clip. And I said, okay, if I can be blessed with such a short clip like this, why will I not even download the full message and listen? Why are we trying to make, you know, you see people, if he's not a white guy, they don't listen to them. The Spirit of God is one. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I said, Kai, no, we are so familiar with ourselves. And I told myself, I said, if we can just, as Nigerians, I'm not saying don't honor people. Wherever you see a grace, honor it. But if you can just honor yourselves, and recognize God's grace in your lives, the way you will all be anointed in less than 2 months will blow your mind. That you can look at somebody so deeply, discern what God is doing in its life, honor it, the grace will flow directly to you. He said, the more excellent way is that you walk in love. If you can respect each other, instead of coveting, trying to covet, as I collect it by force, as you can respect, if Brother Jerry can respect Brother Dan, and Brother Dan can just respect, as they are just respecting themselves, the grace is flowing. It's flowing. But the anointing you don't respect, you talk to your brothers anyhow. You look at your brother, you don't see any good in your brother. Your pastor is here laboring for you. You are eyeing one pastor somewhere. You think there's a special anointing. Meanwhile, that pastor, if he sits with us, he's learning. It will blow your mind that the Paul we are respecting today is because we are reading him in the Bible. If Paul is your pastor, some people would have still changed church. Say, Paul, the Lord told me my time with you is over. But now as you are reading Paul, imaginary, right? If Paul is my pastor, if I ever change church, let me die. Paul finished preaching. When he was done, he said, I'm coming. Let me visit Abuja and come. And when he came back, his boy started saying, porters and rams. Let's take for instance. Who taught you this? But when you left, one man came. And he said some things. And we have a problem with what you said. You know, when your member, if somebody that has sense that you know, that understand, will start asking you stupid questions. The next thing you ask the person, who are you listening to? God always used to talk with Adam. One day God came. And while they were talking with Adam, say, Adam, the way he answers is not the way he used to answer. Before he said, God, daddy, yeah. You know, as a child, if you did something wrong and your parents come back from the market, you are not just free with your spirit, not with them. Your spirit and soul and body are scattered into three. Instead of coming to greet you, everybody is coming to greet you, you are far. Mommy, welcome. Why are you not coming to help me? I feel like being here. Because if I come close, you will soon. And of course, the last born now, mommy, and this day. Hey. You know, no matter what you tell last born, they still what? Let me see whether you are falling. So where was I? How did Anna get to this story? Talk to me. Thank you. I knew you wouldn't get it. Thank you. What did you say? Hey, shut up. So what she said is right. Are we together? Yes, thank you. So I don't want to forget what she said. You people are trying to confuse me. Allow me to remember her voice. Okay. What she said is true. Are we together? And I brought this illustration inside. I tell you the truth. Paul came back. He got offended. He said, you people are foolish. You know, people see it so spiritual. That's not spiritual insult. It is insult. Like, you know when you say uwaka? That's what Paul did there in the flesh. He's like uwaku. But not the way outside understand uwaku. You know, he was so angry with these guys. You people are foolish. That's what Paul said there. How do you want me to say it to make sense to you? Una tu mumu. I mean. When Paul saw how daft they were, he said, mumu people. You are mumu. Oh, ye foolish Galatians. Say it in vernacular. Say it, oh, ye foolish Galatians in vernacular. Anybody? Galatians una tu mumu. Mumu mumu Galatians. Una mumu not too much. Paul was amazed. Amazed at their foolishness. You just come back. You know, there was one time on campus. I used to preach with no administration. One day I came, I heard somebody use sand to baptize somebody. Sand. I said, in which mosque? They said, this church. I said, hey. Sand? Say it was a dimension. Another day I came, I heard that some of my boys are now Nazarenes. They were Nazarenes. They now live here. Because I live here now, where I come, they say prophet is a Nazarene and we are Nazarenes. So I'd never announced that I was a Nazarene. But my boys put me in the Nazarene distinct clan. They say because I live here and them too, they are living here. I had to announce, nobody is a Nazarene in this church. The concept of Nazarene is to even paint a picture of consecration, holiness in the New Testament. It happened in the Old Testament to paint a picture of holiness in the New Testament. Not that anybody should live here. It was just God teaching something that was about to come. Are we together? Which I will teach in a better day. You will see rubbish. That you are teaching somebody that understood you well, very well. You now visit somewhere and come back and start asking stupid questions. A lady came to my office one day when I heard everything she was saying. I said, who are you listening to? What happened was that somebody that left church was schooling her that what we're saying was wrong. I know all those things that don't make me not to sleep. Somebody left church, they are saying that you are doing this. We give God praise. The other day they say somebody left church and say we are collecting people's money. I said next Sunday is still partnership Sunday. We collect more. And when we declared, in fact, like I think that was the day, like 12 new partners stood up. I said, wow, with such a news, we had 12 new partners. Glory to God. It will not say, okay, let's reconsider partner. You will still give. Will you not give?
Yes, sir.
And the news has passed as breeze. We give those kind of news power when we talk about it. Yes, so let's talk about this thing. Let's argue it. You say we used to collect. We don't used to collect. Explain why we used to collect. No defense, no attack. No point to prove to anybody. Paul was so amazed. Oh, ye foolish. He said, how can you start something in the spirit and want to end in the flesh? How? How can somebody have Paul as a pastor and make that kind of mistake? What is the problem? Familiarity. And a pastor, I was teaching one young pastor. He had now had low self-esteem. He had a few folks leave him. And he was wondering whether something was wrong. I said, nothing's wrong with you. If you hear him talking now, his self-esteem has dropped. I said, young man, I shook him. I said, what's your name? He called his name. I said, who are you? Remember the first day God called you? Can you remember the first miracle you did? His tears was just falling. I said, can you remember the second miracle God did through you? I mean, God is still powerful with you like he was powerful with you. Nothing about you has changed. Forget these guys. Move like they never existed. And move with the speed of light. I said, don't emphasize them. Don't talk about them. Just keep on moving. Be a moving train. Who stops a moving train? I'm not talking about these ones that they used to do. Chaka, chaka, chaka. I'm talking about this present day modern moving train. If you have sense, you cannot stay there. As it's moving, it's not begging anybody to leave the road. It's moving. If you stand there, you'll be moved out of life. Nobody stops you. Move, I told him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Familiarity is a killer. I was telling my brothers. I said it is a killer. We look at what God is doing in our life, we ignore it. He said the Lord, and you see, it is the character of God. It is God's character. Look for instance what he said. He said, if you love the Lord your God with your whole heart, you love your neighbor as yourselves. In other words, he wants to prove your love for him by how much you love yourselves. Leave love aside. God will prove your humility by how much you are humble to your fellow man. Leave humility aside. God will prove your good character. You see those cry you used to do in the front. Yes, it's good though. But after you do, I don't cry, and when they talk to you, you reply and shout. It's like you made noise. That's rubbish in the realm of the spirit. Big rubbish. You have a leader that says, sit down, you stand up. A leader says, come 5 o'clock. These things are powerful in the realm of the spirit. I wish I can take so much time to explain this to you. While I was growing up, people of God, do you know what made me outstanding? One of the major things? It was humility. I was saying with my pastors, you can never, Satan can never destroy a humble person. He can never destroy a humble person. Jesus said to Peter, he said, your faith will not fail. I've prayed for you. Satan wants to take you, but your faith will not fail. I thought that Peter would be walking by faith and he would say, I take this mountain. And maybe when he's trying to take the mountain and it's almost failing, you know, maybe he's trying to heal a sick person and the person is not becoming healed. You now almost want to give up. I said, I refuse to give up. Sick person be healed. Maybe I thought that was what Jesus meant. But I didn't know. Because Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to take you, but I have prayed for you that your what? Faith. Your faith. Faith is everything, people of God. Your faith will not fail. Listen to it now. He told Peter before the cock, what? How many times will you deny me? Yet he still emphasized, your faith will not fail. Now, Peter denied Jesus. Do you know that man? God forbid. Do you know that man? The Holy Ghost fire. Do you know that man? And Jesus looked at him. Then he went and started crying. I said, God, his faith has failed now. God says a lie. His faith has not failed. I said, God, show me. He said, read on. We now saw Peter kneeling down and crying to God and saying, Father, forgive me. And when Peter said, Father, forgive me, the next thing, Peter is the head of the church. I mean, let's talk about Peter for a moment. He stands before the gate beautiful. He says, silver and gold I have not, such as I have. Stand up and walk. Somebody stood up and walked in the name of Jesus. The shadow of Peter was healing the sick. I mean, this is the man that denied Jesus 3 times. How did his faith not fail? He said, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. He was humble. Judas was proud. Me do this kind of thing. Me doing. That's why I don't joke with people that like to defend themselves. Don't defend yourself when you are wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Keep your mouth shut. Because as you are trying to defend, is a proof of pride. 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 Listen, if you all grew up in homes with your father and mother, it is not every time they were right. But if we are very sincere, they were dealing about a matter that you were wrong. And sometimes they can add some stew and make it juicy, especially your mother for your father. But if you are not a victim, they would have not had that privilege to add those stew. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes your father is correcting you. He will say something self that he's not supposed to say. But you actually needed correction because you did something wrong. At that point, don't try to defend that little side he missed. You know, Mr. Sir, yes, I know I did this, but that one, shut your mouth up. Only proud people try to defend themselves. Keep your mouth shut. Do you know people that haven't, your father that is talking like that knows that that one you did not do it. But he as he's talking, he wants to see that your mouth is shut. That's why finally your fathers will choose who is the most humble, you to shock you. If you are the most humble, your father will still point you on the day of judgment. He said, this one is the most humble. It will shock you. How did he know? Well, he accused me of this. Yeah, they still know you are the most humble. That's how it is. Stop trying to defend yourself. Judas was me. Crucify. I betrayed the Savior with so shekels of silver. I would rather die. He couldn't believe that he did that. See, pride. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Secondly, because of how he saw himself, he could not go back and say, Lord, I am sorry. And he died. But Peter was very humble. Forgive me immediately. And he was restored. The righteous falleth seven times, but what? Their ability to rise again is the main thing there. It's not about the fall. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if you're on the ground, stand up and rise and rise again and begin to walk, you will eventually be like Peter. Somebody who denied Jesus right now in the book of Acts, Peter will go and stand before the temple and say, nothing will happen. I am for Jesus. Somebody who denied Jesus now, he doesn't care to take any gun. Let them come and call. He was in prison, yet he stood up for Jesus. Hey, he started singing psalms and was praising God. Prison door open. That's somebody that a small child spoke to that was crying. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. He said, grace comes to the humble. You made a mistake, are you humble? If you are humble, there's still room for glory. But when you are proud, there's no room at all. I was trying to tell you that my secret as a pastor is not the ability that I used to pray more than everybody when we were growing up. The day my spiritual father called me the greatest, I've been telling you this story for a long time. My heart skipped because I knew people who could pray more than me. He said, son, you are the greatest. I shifted away from him. I said, sir, I don't understand you. He said, because when I say come, you come. When I say go, you go. When I say do this, you do it. He said, you are the greatest. He said, for obedience is better than sacrifice. I didn't understand the meaning of that. Till one day I was reading the part of the Bible that says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Whatever thing you are doing with you, whatever thing you have seen or have touched in God, if at the end the Spirit of God cannot say do without you resisting, you have not truly grown. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If he can just move at with the speed of light, he can do things through you. You are wrong, he just tells you apologize. Yeah, I mean, to even apologize is not a problem. This is how you think as a Christian. I can always apologize. Tell somebody I can always apologize. I can always, with the speed of light, like a loop, it can happen very, very fast. I'm sorry. It's wrong. This is proof of strength. This is not proof of strength. Come now. Come. That's proof of foolishness. That's a proof that you are a child. I will wash you. You are a child. Like a city without walls. Anything, they can throw anything towards you and it will hit you. Are you listening to me? What is humility? Power under control. So you have power, but under control. You can do anything, but you don't say anything. Sometimes I'm in places where people do everything they want to do and find say, you're Professor Simon. Jesus Christ, come forward. And you see, yeah, but if I had come and said, well, my name is Professor Simon Thomas, the president of GCMI Global. The Bible says when you come into an event, take the last seat first. Take the last seat. Let them realize that you are the last seat and there is honor there. Then you come to the first seat, they say, can you please go two seats backwards? That's not for you. How many of you have been there before? Yes, take two seats backward. Yes. That's not for you. Naturally, people will not even like you because you are proud. Have you learned something tonight? This is the fulfillment of the law. Walking in what? Love. What should we talk today, Simoners? Walking in love. Have we done anything like that? Eh?
Okay. Oh, there's a topic. Just, have you been so blessed? I didn't really go deep into the First Corinthians session, but I hope you enjoyed everything. So that's it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So learn to respect yourselves. Learn to honor yourself. Remember what I said. God is in this place and Jacob said, I knew not. If you have a clique of friends, God is within. Realize it and when you realize it, honor them. Respect them. Respect yourself. Somebody seems to be making progress in their life in a certain area you like. What do? Honor them. Respect them. It will flow. That success in their life will float your life naturally. God does this to humble everybody. Because you think you will not respect your neighbor, then you don't go and stand before God. God, I trust you for money. Then you go in the money to your neighbor. Idiot. Proud girl. Stupid idiot. I'll go and pray to God. God is not a man, Jerry. Father, I give you praise. You will not cry. Ekweme, ekweme, that you not turn to lady. get out, witch, wizard, blah, blah, blah. Nothing will happen. God is excited. He's just looking at you. It's like you will be there for a long time. But the day you come to that lady and say, I recognize what God is doing in your life and I honor it. You'll be so shocked. You may not see it physically. It's like a funnel. Your humility is like a funnel. It will tap everything happening in that lady's life to your life. How do we convert in the most excellent way? Love. You see that now? You want that thing in that brother's life? Love. Just be humble. Be nice. Talk well about the person. We say the anointing you don't respect cannot work for you. You have a HOD that blesses you and talks the word to you and advises you, and you can talk against him or her. How do you expect God to work in your life? For somebody he is discipling you through, Satan will now create an avenue. You sit down and you are talking. You are dialoguing. Now the question, my friend, one of my brothers said, how did we get here? How did we get here? That your discussion in your clique is people in church. How did you get to that point where you discuss people in church? You see, you would have left your sins into a club because you are wasting your time. Nothing in the Bible, you can change church, carry the Bible and say, that thing they are teaching us in church, that I beg, I'll convert it now. Oh, money, come it. If you want that money, if it's God, it is a thief, you will finally become to get that money. Because if you disregard him that way, are you going to get what I'm trying to say? God cannot be mocked. What a man! You will reap it in any church if you change church. You will reap it anywhere. Are you all listening to me tonight? Learn to honor yourself. Somebody has been nice and wonderful to you for years. Honor that person. Love the person. Show that you have been nice to me. Somebody has been giving you food for more than 1 year now. You only used to buy onions once in a while. One day, write a letter to the person and hide it under the person's pillow. Let the person see that you are a nice person. You know what Thanksgiving does for God? That's how it works for man, like Utumokpo, like vernacular people will say. As you thank that brother, you'll be so shocked. All in there was that letter. Tears will come out from his eye. He'll clean it sharp when you're coming inside. He'll now ask you, can we go to Kilimanjaro? I want to do something for you. But you see those ingrates. Is it because you have been giving me food for some time that you talk to me like that? Is it because, listen, it's not that I cannot afford food. It's just that things are not okay. If not food, I don't do small way because of food. You go talk. You not be my mate. You not be my mate. I swear. You not be my mate. Wallahi. You because of food. What will happen to you? You have still rot in that brother's heart. Hunger almost kill you in the house. You're not humble. Your father has suffered for you. I've seen what your father have done. One day your father could not pay school fees early. He started shouting. Bah, 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 bah. You will fail that course. See, it's God's justice system I'm explaining to you. Except you repent. You repent. If not, karma will karma you. Karma is a karma car. They come again. God will always give you allow an experience. He's not the one that will give you bad experiences. You allow it so that it will be a pointer that you did something wrong. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Then somebody will ask you, sir, I don't know why this. Say, did you have a problem? Have you seen prophecy like that before? Have you had a problem with your father before that you insulted him? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I insulted him and left the house. 2:16. Go back and apologize to your father. Is that why I'm confessing? It's my year of victory. It's not working. Go back and just go. You just go back casually. Daddy, I'm sorry you kneeled down. As you are done, as you are just leaving the place, they are calling you. Different course. Please come and take this job. We have been wondering how to read. Your number is not going. Eh? There are forces that used to make number not go. In fact, they'll say this the number you are trying does not exist. Somebody has been blessing you for years. Some are very wicked. They even give them money, give them this. They will now one day sit and talk against the person. Don't, if you have been like that to anybody outside this church, go apologize after this service. If not, 2026, we will still be like this. It's not a joke. The Lord put His word in my heart this morning so strong. Yesterday night, it started early in the midnight. If you observe, I posted one thing yesterday. People are not nice. People are just loving greats. They just think they deserve it. Are you listening to me? Show appreciation. Be nice. You know, sometimes people are kind to you. Have you seen people like that? And have you been like that before? People are so kind to you. And now admiring the ones that are not kind to you. The ones that are kind to you are now looking like reef rats. The ones that are very hard to access are the ones you are admiring. But the ones that are kind to you, you think that you can always get that kindness. So you take them for granted. The ones that are not talking to you, picking your calls, you can't sleep. The day they pick your call, you are doing like Christmas good. But the ones that are around you, you think it's just normal. I was telling a brother, I said it will shock you when you go out there. Because at the start, just imagine you were here now. You had this good friend in church. You people talk, do things together. You now go for NYC and you now found a new friend. Now you are now proving to people that this new friend is better than. But I like friends that understand that at the same level with my thinking. In fact, you are posting about your friend with style. Make sure you have friends who are ahead of you in life. This is a lady that can pray 16 hours. She's now saying, make sure you have friends that are ahead of you in life. Because the friend have more money than her. So she thinks because of the money now, the friend is more ahead of her in life. Oh my God, how did we get here? The worth of a man is not tied to the amount of money he has. Are you listening to me? You have to make sure you're, even as a man of God, I've given you several instances here. Don't do things that will make people, you know, we saw one. I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say it in a very funny way. There was a time we're watching, let me not just say it. Probably the man of God would have repented. And some of you, if I said you remember, you now mock and it should be a sin. Hallelujah to Jesus. So don't allow money. Are we together? Don't allow money make you, because you don't have certain money, you now start feeling small. You don't think your praying in tongues is wasted effort. Then your friend who you pray in tongues with now, you say, you need people that will take you up in life. Some progress, we said on Sunday that we have agreed that some progress, we don't see it physical yet. It is happening within. The day shoots out. And you know, before a plant shoots out from the ground, do you know the level of resistance? The level of resistance for you not to find expression, it goes through a lot, then finally finds expression from the root. You are taking root downward, does not mean you are not going to make progress. The day you shoot up, tell somebody the day you shoot up. The day you shoot up, it will be like 10 years is compressed in one day. Because the capacity you are building and they think you are wasting time. You are not wasting time. You are taking roots downward. Tell somebody I'm taking root downward. You are not wasting time. See, don't allow the delay make you start seeing yourself small. You are still very big. Don't your neighbor say, I'm very big. Very, very big. Don't look down on yourself. Don't look down on yourself. Don't ever make that mistake in your life. Say, I'm very big. See yourself the right way. Your prayer is doing a lot for you. A lot. A lot that eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. A lot that's not entered into the heart of men. The best of you is yet to find expression. And it's not some fairy tale. It should have been happening in your heart. If you want to see it in your life. It should have been happening in your heart. The constant is that God will always do exceedingly. But you should give Him a place to start from. The Bible says God can do. But this is it. If you don't think, He will not do exceedingly above all you have ever thought. So you should be thinking. It is from your thinking that it has a basis to start something. The exceedingly start from your thinking. Are you listening to me? Start something. Start thinking something. And it can do exceedingly. But if you are not thinking, you will not see the exceedingly. What are you thinking? Are you thinking something wonderful? Are you thinking something great? Are you thinking something massive? He can do above all you have ever thought. But you should be thinking something. Or in the language of the scripture, you should be thoughting something already. Are you thinking something?
Yes, sir.
Will you be nice to your neighbors?
Yes, sir.
Will you be nice to your friends?
Yes, sir.
Will you love each other?
Yes, sir.
Love. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 as we close. We'll read and stop in verse, just like 5 verses. Let's read together. One to read. Though I speak with tongues. Unbelievable. Do you believe this? Don't joke with God, though. It is true. The next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. This one was the one that shocked me. I thought this was a description of love years ago. He said, you can do this thing, I have no love. Next part of scripture. You know, scripture will humble you. Love what? Love is. Love does not. Love does not. It's not. See, imagine God sees all this character. What will you not allow to find expression through you? But if God allows, with this mindset you have, if he allows glory through your life, with this your envious, poofed up life, it will kill you. But when you walk in love, he's not scared to allow it. Next part of scripture. Verse 4. Does not behave rudely. You see that? Love is not rude. That you are spiritual does not mean you should be rude. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. This love is strong. Let me read this part again. Does not. Is not. Thinks no. Give me the original. I'm trying to see something. I want to be sure of something. The KJV, old KJV. Alright, I think so. Let's read again. One to go. Does not have it. Seeketh not. Is not what? Thinketh no what? I don't know whether you saw what I did here. I wanted to justify. Why will I not be provoked at your foolishness sometimes? But it's not easy. Do you understand? Before you provoke me, it takes a lot of time. When Paul said, oh, you foolish Galatians, he was provoked. I wanted to know whether I and Paul have sinned, and here we are. We did not sin. So it's not easily provoked. It's not. Sometimes the mumu will be too much. We say mumu. Like Paul said. But it's not easily. If you observe, prophet is not easily provoked. Somebody will do mumuness. It's not. He will still do it. It's not provoked. He will still do it again. It's not provoked. Then one day prophet will say, come here. You think anybody is your mate in this church? He's not rebuking you. And the Bible says a good son will listen to the rebuke of his father. He that the father loves, he chastises. Say, kneel down there, raise your hand up. He doesn't hate you. He what? He loves you. The last part, and we call it the one to read, verse 6. Give me the NKJV. Does not rejoice in iniquity. So this love of Christ, as you understand, if he's making you to sin, it's not love of Christ. But rejoices in the truth. Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
Wherever there's truth, we are for it. Whether you are this tribe or that tribe, if you are wrong, you are wrong. That's a proof that you have God. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes, hopes, endures. This love is powerful. It's not emotional. You know, it's like, I love you. I don't know. It endures. If you love a woman, you endure things. You can't say, I will deaf you here, deaf you. You hope that she will stop talking too much. You will believe all things. Do you understand? You bear all the pains. Husband, what? You see, as we're advising that women should be talking to us nicely and submit to us, the Bible said you have to bear all things. That is the meaning of love. You have to love them. AKA, you have to bear all things. Whatever they do, the Bible says, bear it. Believe a new day for their life. Hope for the best. And enjoy it. Tell every man around you, enjoy it. I think I'll leave this marriage. You are not living anywhere. Enjoy it. You see, this marriage you have started, till Jesus come, you are not living it. Forever, forever. Can we celebrate Jesus? I just knew that today's teaching will be different. When I sat in my office, when I had this light headache, I said, God, I'm not going to shout too. I'll just come and talk nice, and I'll end the service. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
So go back home and think about these things I've said. This is too much for one night, but go and enjoy it. Don't waste the sermon. Are we together?
Yes.
Father, we give you all the praise. Just love on the Lord. Give him praise for all you've heard. Who? Give him praise. Worship him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Eternally you are beautiful. Eternally you are glorious. Eternally, eternally you are good. Oh, eternally you are beautiful. Oh, eternally you are glorious. Eternally. Eternally you are good. Oh, eternally, eternally you are beautiful. Eternally you are glorious. Eternally, eternally. Oh, eternally, eternally you are beautiful. Eternally, eternally. Can we celebrate Jesus? Give him all the praise.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.